Do I need a life coach? You're listening to episode 93 with Rhiannon Bush. Welcome to the Do I Need a Life Coach podcast. We're here to discuss the ins and outs of the life coaching industry and give you tools to use to see for yourself. I'm your host, Rhiannon Bush, mother, management consultant, and a passionate, certified life coach. Well, hello, my friends. I hope you've had a fantastic week. Welcome back to another episode. It's wonderful to have you here. And I always really want to hear what you want to hear from me. So if ever you're thinking, oh, I'd really like to hear her take on a certain topic, whether it's about life coaching or leadership or just, you know, goal achievement, whatever it might be for you, please know I would love to hear it. So just jump to my website, rhiannonbush.com. There's a contact us page. Go to that page and send a request through. A lot of people do it, but it's very intermittent. So sometimes I'll get like an influx and then other times it's a little bit quieter. And just know that I really do invite you. Like I'm a human. I'm literally right here. So please feel free, you know, to reach out through those computer screens and ask me a question. I would love to know, and it would really help me because that way I know what you'd rather be hearing about than things that I'm sort of just, you know, interested in or curious about as I'm going along. So please, if there's anything you want to hear me talk about or anything that you're wondering about things that I've spoken about on the podcast, I would love to know. Please reach out. I was at a leadership seminar recently, which, you know, leadership is a topic I love so much. I love that there is so much literature on it and there are so many people out there talking about it and just trying to make that space better. I'm really passionate about improving the lives of people at work. I think so many people, well, we all do, right? We all go to work, we all spend a lot of time there, and we all deserve to have a really great, fulfilling experience instead of it just being a means to an end of like, well, I've got bills to pay, so I have to work. I think that's a really sad outlook for a life that we are trying to live. So, you know, I'm so passionate about people really aligning with what organizations are trying to achieve and everybody moving on to that goal and that vision to realize that together. And people really like being excited to go to work. And I've been through times in my life, most times in my life, where I'll be honest, I have not been jumping out of bed in the morning to go to work. And I'm not saying every day can be like that, but I am saying that you can, and I have found organizations where I have aligned with what they're trying to achieve, and I have been able to add a lot of value and help in those instances. And I have really enjoyed that and found it very fulfilling. Maybe not 100% of the time with that organization, but I have definitely, had different layers or levels of organizations where I've worked with them, and I'm like, yes, I love what you do and what you're about. And I'm like right there with them trying to, you know, be as proactive as I can in helping and have an impact and do the things that they do. I've also worked for organizations where I'm like, oh God, I just need to like get my paycheck and get out of here. And that's really a horrible way to wake up every day and to keep showing up and to keep trying to add value when you just feel like you're going so against the grain. But it's always important if you're going to leave your job to leave when you're feeling really great about it and when you're thriving. Because if you leave in a state of bitterness or discomfort or like you're a bit jaded or disengaged, then maybe the problem is actually you and you need to kind of work at getting yourself into a really great spot, because that way when you leave that organization, you're going to be well aware of what serves you and what doesn't moving forward and know that you've given all you can to it instead of it taking something from you or it highlighting something in you that you may not have addressed as closely as you could have. So that's just, a little note. So yes, I was at this leadership seminar recently, Rhiannon Focus, and there were four key speakers and they gave a talk for like 5 or 10 minutes. And the theme was, if you know one thing about leadership, know this. And meeting me, I was like, well, if I was to answer that question, if I was up there speaking, what would I say? And the way I would have chosen to address that question is to say that if you need to know one thing about leadership, it's that you are going to get it wrong. Optimistic, huh? any ambiguity as to why I was not asked to speak. Anyway, the reason that I would have answered it this way is because the doing of leadership is really, really hard. It's complex. And when it comes to leadership, it's really easy to sit and quote Brené Brown or Dan Pink and talk about leadership like Simon Sinek does and the frameworks and the theories behind it. You know, but leadership isn't theoretical. There are things to help for sure, but until you're actually doing leadership, like Brené Brown says, you know, if you are not in the arena, you're not in the arena. So it's really easy to talk about it theoretically, but it's hard to actually do the thing. And there are so many reasons that it's really, really hard. So even if you're not a leader in business, bear with me because this will give you some insights for your own life too. Like self-leadership is a thing. That's not what I'm talking about in this episode, but you might get some tips and tricks for you to actually start to hold yourself more accountable and to address that from a better perspective. So some of the speakers were absolutely brilliant. Three of the four I could have listened to like at least an hour each or a whole day seminar, and I would have loved that because they were absolutely brilliant. But one in particular had actually implemented leadership in a way that was really, it was getting tangible, measurable outcomes. And she was from a Canadian organization. I can't remember her name, but it was Tamarack. And this organization is about reducing poverty. And over 22 years, they have reduced poverty from 17% to 7%. And it was just amazing to understand what her perception of what needs to be done and what lies at the heart of leadership to collectively achieve a result like that. Something I see in corporate organizations quite often is that the executive create a blueprint or a roadmap, and it's all about honoring a strategy that they created, but then they act like it has to be followed to the letter. And let's be honest, nothing ever works to the letter. Nothing ever goes that way. I have designed countless sales scripts for organizations. I have done many a project plan and stuck to it and project managed to it. And it so rarely goes to plan, right? There are market conditions that are born from human behavior, which is why they're inherently unpredictable. And there are, you know, close to home curveballs that are thrown every single day, whether that's staff, stakeholders, viruses, clients, government policy. There are complexities because there are people involved. And where there are people involved, there are always shades of gray. So instead of being able to adapt and change and listen and learn to flow, I've seen it where there's just this really stringent approach of like, this is how we said we're going to do it and this is how we're going to execute. So again, it comes down to being able to communicate it in a way that says, this is the trajectory we're on, and then bring people along on that journey. And look, sometimes it may be almost dictatorial, and sometimes it has to be. And where your people are following you because they're scared of you instead of brought along on that strategy, or where it's too dictatorial and it has no room to breathe and ebb and flow, is where I think there's danger zones. But it is circumstantial, but I also think things need to evolve and change. That's exactly what this woman from Tamarack was saying, that you've got to put people's voices at the heart of leadership. And that means being willing to be open and to let things move and breathe and change and grow, you know, organically while having a rough blueprint in mind. The first speaker I found really interesting because he spoke about the fact that there is this sense of social identity. And with leadership, it's a we, not a me. And he also addressed this short-sightedness that occurs when we are unable to appreciate the viewpoint that people have if it's really different to our own. I'd call this unconscious bias, but, you know, he didn't call it that. I wasn't overly taken with that specific talk because none of it addressed the how. I was sitting in that seminar to understand tools and techniques to learn how to handle things like difficult conversations, how to hold space, how to prepare and plan to create a safe space, because all of us being human beings, we are all going to be triggered by things. And these things depend on our upbringing, our background, our experiences, things that we've dealt with in our lives. And without knowing these triggers within ourselves or having the skills to deal with them, how can we possibly be good leaders? There's one of the early episodes in this podcast series that I did, which was called The Hierarchy of Communication. And there's a lot in that episode about preparing for uncomfortable conversations ahead of time. So your adult brain is in charge instead of your child brain, and your adult brain can manage and sort of monitor your emotional state when you're having these conversations that can and often are quite triggering because there is a heightened emotional state from one, if not both parties. So really, really good episode if you're someone who's in a position where you need to have confronting conversations and work through difficult heightened emotional stakes. I went out to dinner with some friends recently and I was a little bit nervous. I hadn't seen these friends in a long time and you know, there'd been some odd things going on and I was in this mindset of uncertainty. And when in uncertainty, most people I know professionally and personally and clients that I've coached dramatize. It's a pretty natural response that when we are in an unknown situation, we're like, oh, am I going to be all right? Am I going to be shafted? Or you create the narrative according to worst case scenario. I actually had a lovely dinner. It was a great experience. But that day I was driving myself nuts and I had to get my self-coaching hat on and be like, I'm going to be fine. These are just emotions. They're vibrations. You know, I don't need to be brought into this or I don't need to overthink this. I just need to really monitor what I'm doing. And worst case scenario, I leave. If things get really, really bad, I'm just going to leave. Line drawn and that will be that. I was able to mentally prepare myself for a situation where I didn't know what I was going to get. And the more I thought about it, the worse the feelings got, the worse the uncertainty got. And in the end, it was, you know, this warm and inviting experience. It was lovely, truly lovely. And I'd spent a lot of energy that day trying to prepare myself for worst case scenario. And when I pull this idea into leadership conversations and back to what the speakers were addressing, I walked away from this seminar a little bit disappointed that there weren't more really tactical steps to provide an approach to lead better and veer away from theoretical frameworks and statistics around leadership. While what they were saying was excellent and very well researched because a lot of them were academics, my favorite speaker, the Canadian working with the Organization to Reduce Poverty, she gave us 5 steps to help be a good leader. And she said to firstly, make the people, the voice of the people, the center. So when you're in a group is what enables leadership to happen. So without the group, there is no leadership. There's no need for leadership. There is self-leadership, again, not really what I'm talking about today, but when you make the people's voices at the center, then you can actually listen and adapt and involve them in the process as you go and in the strategy and in the execution of trying to achieve that goal. The second was to work across boundaries. So when there are things disagreed upon or when people have very different viewpoints, it needs to be addressed. Work across them, work with them instead of running away from them, which is when I think about Courageous Conversations. It's a book by Joseph Grenny, Kerry Patterson, and some other authors. I don't remember being enthralled with the book, but it's got great information for having conversations that are uncomfortable and icky and horrible, and when the outcome especially is really important. The third thing that this lovely speaker said was the adaptability to be in sync, which means listening and learning to adapt, which I thought was absolutely awesome. The fourth was to think about the system and the goal to get there. So to continue to have that goal and then continue to update the system as needed to get that goal. The fifth was acts of courage, which is going above and beyond what you need to do, even if it's risky, and give back to the group and to make a difference. So it was just awesome in terms of practical steps to actually do leadership better. And it was in like a 5 or 10 minute conversation, which was, you know, she did really, really well to pack all of this in that amount of time. I hear so many people talk about models and speak of different frameworks to utilize to lead better, but not actually doing it. And sometimes there is inconsistencies. I think for me, true leadership requires ultimate authenticity. I've never met somebody I want to follow who hasn't been 100% authentic. Not that we can really be 100% authentic all the time, maybe. I don't know. I'll question that and I might do an episode on it. But it's one of those things where we have such refined BS meters. And if you are being led by somebody who isn't themselves and doesn't know who they are, what they stand for, their strengths, their weaknesses, and then can outsource stuff if and when they need to, then it's really hard for me anyway to follow somebody like that. If you aren't yourself, I don't want to know, and I certainly don't want to play a game in trying to guess. So at least with someone who's truly authentic, you know where their edges are. You know what to expect from them and when you can anticipate how they will respond to things, and that creates a level of familiarity and predictability, which is comfortable. So to know when to back yourself and when not to back yourself as a leader, and to go, oh, nope, this is not actually my wheelhouse and I need some advice, or I need to outsource it, get some help with that, you know, then you get certain in your approach. And that certainty translates. That certainty is reassuring for those that are following you. And as a team member, you know, lacking authenticity as a leader makes it very, very hard to follow you and believe you and trust you. So the difference between a manager and leader: manager makes sure that you do the work that needs to get done, your KPIs, you get, you know, to deliver what you need to deliver and function in your role. A leader is someone you're inspired to follow, somebody that you look for guidance from. They're visionary often, someone who has that level of certainty, not only in the direction and the outcome being sought, but who has that know-how of what needs to occur to get there, even if they're not the ones that can actually do it. So a leader I love to have is someone who goes beyond the role that I'm performing for them and the purpose that we're both aligned with, but they actually go out of their way to make me more skilled and to make me a better person. Damien and I had this conversation recently. We were saying how it's a real shame, the scarcity mindset that a lot of businesses have around people leaving. So I think Gen Z at the moment, the statistic is that Gen Z will stay in a role on average for 1.2 years. 1.2 years. Isn't that craziness? So I've changed careers a lot, like a lot, but I don't think I've ever done 1.2 years. Any business that tries to control or hoard their employees and keep them where they are performing and functioning in that specific role, it's a huge risk. Not only to reputation, but to growth, to, you know, engagement of the team. You know, I think you're in so much trouble. And that's when you know, your people leading needs to be even better, because you need to serve people in your organization on a human level. You need to be invested in that person's growth and contribute to their levels of fulfillment and to see them progress and do what you can to help them get there. And yes, there's always a high chance that person will leave, always. Like a very, very high chance. But at least if you send them off into the world beyond you and beyond your business or beyond the role that they're performing for you, and you give them what they need to become a better person and achieve, what goes around comes around, even if it's from a quantum physics perspective. So whether it's them personally or reputation, whether it's them coming back into the business at a later stage once they've developed other skills, at the very end of the day, you've served the person as well as your business, as well as your clients, vendors, stakeholders, etc. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. A gentleman at a Oz Industry event that I was at months ago, he worked on massive cattle stations up in the north of Australia, like Queensland, Northern Territory, massive cattle stations. And they, in the industry, all have an understanding that staff will leave. Absolutely, they will leave. And their aim is, as a collective industry, to keep people in the industry so they don't lose the skills. So if anyone wants to leave their farm and go to another cattle station, even if it's the one next door, which in Australia, by the way, everyone is like hundreds of kilometers away, it's the whole mentality of we want to retain this talent and this skill and this knowledge in our industry. And that happens through serving individuals while they serve your business. So as a leader, what a beautiful thing to consider that the people you lead, the people you manage, they are looking to you thinking, you're going to help me progress and change and grow into the person that I want to become, into the professional that I want to become. And not only because it helps you, but because you want to help me. I think a good leader is having that attitude every single day while collectively utilizing individual strengths and interests of a team to achieve the goal. And I think you have to have those tough love conversations. You have to be able to operate in a relationship that's market driven. So you've got somebody you're holding accountable to a result that you're paying them for, but you also have to honor that social contract where people feel like you care. They feel like you care about them personally. And also, you know, you have to have those courageous conversations to get the most out of yourself, out of them, and out of the relationship. It's about creating the win-wins. And to do that as a leader is about being authentic. It's about being able to be directive when you need to be and collaborative when you need to be and sharing what you can when you can, or giving that line of, I'm really sorry, I want to share this, but I can't right now. We're still working some stuff out. Just knowing how to communicate and having those one-liners up your sleeve ready to go, so that when you can't share something or when you're restricted by something else in the business, something that you have no control over, you can give that level of reassurance and you can be in the trench with your people. Knowing when to pivot and go off course because the track you're on isn't working, or when to hold strong on that direction and work harder to bring everybody else along. It's a tough gig. It's so tough. And I think leaders out there need to be given a little bit of grace by employees and teams, because leaders, being human too, will get it wrong. And as long as we are trying, as long as we are working towards being better every single day and we are willing to change and do our best, then we can. And, you know, I think a leader has to have technical chops to be your leader in the first place. So try to take a more forgiving and compassionate approach with them, help them to be better, and provide honest feedback. Hold space for them as well. Let them lead you the best way they know how. And if there is a way you would prefer to be led, or a way you can help them be a better leader, have the conversation and help them know how to treat you and what you hope to see from them. If you're a leader, give yourself some grace. Know that it's hard and be willing to get it wrong. It's okay. We are all human. And as long as you are doing your best and you are doing that day after day, then that is really all anybody can ask of you. Be a self-leader, be a self-manager, and serve others around you, even if you are not in a position of authority. And I'll leave it there. I will see you next week. Remember to reach out if there is something that you'd like to hear me talk about. I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining me on this insightful journey today. If you've resonated with what we've discussed and feel inspired to make positive changes in your life, I'm here to support you. Remember, your transformation begins with a single step. If you're ready to take that step and explore the possibilities of working with a life coach, visit my website at www.rhiannonbush.com. There, you'll find more information about my coaching programs and how we can collaborate to achieve your goals. Your journey to a more fulfilling life starts now, so reach out today and let's create the life you dream about. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.